Hi there, welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and our guest today is Dr. Mitchell Gaynor. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Our intention today is that you may be able to take control of your own vibration and have it affect everything you do in your life, including all your relationships. So we hold that frequency for this whole show and onward as well. So before we get started, I want to tell you about a few things that is happening at the school. Tomorrow, if you happen to be in the area, or if you're not, you could hop on a plane, is we've got the open house at the Institute. It's a free sound healing workshop from 1 to 6. We're going to be doing a lot of sound meditations, heart-opening meditations. We're going to be talking about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's really a good time. We'll be putting people on sound tables and vibrating them into bliss. So come on over. You can come for part or the whole thing. We also have our next semester starting September 11th. In fact, the certificate program, the first part of the certificate program is our sound healing conference. So you would get into that for free, and then we continue the classes on October 5th. Again, that's how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We've got a total of about 24 instructors in the certificate and associate degree program. And it's really quite profound how much it transforms people. So it's about healing yourself and healing each other, but also about just raising your consciousness and getting you into a higher vibration so you can really just be well and happy. We also have that program online, both the certificate and the associate degree program, with live instructors or by video. And that's starting this Tuesday. I think Tuesday is the 18th or 19th, this Tuesday night. We actually start about every 2 weeks, but it works really well online as well. If you can't make it out, you know, it's we do healings on each other. We do a lot of sound, and we have you practice on your friends and family as well. So you can contact me at 415-777-2486 or david@soundhealingcenter.com, or you can find out or see all the information at soundhealingcenter.com. We also do have the audio recording classes as well. We've got the certificate and associate degree. The certificate's only online, though, or not only online. We only have the certificate online for the audio recording, and it's about learning how to use audio recording programs to affect you much deeper physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we also have a concert coming up at the Institute with Kevin James from Bali. Kevin James, there's no better kirtan on the planet. Kevin James, it's really quite profound what happens at his concerts. People are in tears or completely, profoundly still. It's really quite amazing. And so we're doing a private concert at the Institute before the big concert at the conference. And that's September 5th. There's supposed to be a big portal opening on September 5th, according to Tom Kenyon. So that should be a really cool time at the Institute. But the big thing we have happening, of course, is our Sound Healing Conference, September 11th to the 14th at the Kaiser Center Auditorium Tower in Oakland. And that's an indoor conference and an outdoor festival at the same time. So we're going to have music and sound healing going on in a park that's adjacent to the place. It's a beautiful park with sacred geometry layout and ponds and not only music, but sound healing workshops for only $25 outside. And then inside, you get to go into the exhibitor booths. We've got almost 30 exhibitor booths. We've got workshops inside. We've got concerts every night, again, with Kevin James. We've got Wah, who has been around, 40 years doing sound healing. And then we've also got Jai Uttal on Sunday night doing a concert. So it's really an amazing time. 4 days, we've got post-conference workshops with Jill Pursh. And our main keynote is Dr. Mitchell Gaynor here. Dr. Gaynor has been doing, is really the main doctor in the field that's using sound healing in his practice for quite a few years now. Mitchell, can I call you Mitch?
Is that, yes.
Okay. Mitch has been doing, working with crystal bowls and Tibetan bowls in his practice. He has people that are going into surgery actually use audio recordings before surgery and I guess after, during surgery as well?
Yes, and chemotherapy, a variety of medical procedures, endoscopies, colonoscopies, mm-hmm. and, you know, really every time patients come in, just part of their routine office visit and exam is a sound healing session as well.
Oh, that's great. He also has been on Dr. Oz 4 times. And, you know, I would say that Mitch here has done more to bring sound healing into the mainstream than anybody on the planet. And it's really, really, it's really the main thing is really to get us so we can take our power back to heal ourselves and heal our others. And that's really one of our main goals here at the Institute. Welcome, Mitch. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, first of all, you know, tell us how you got into using sound. I mean, what inspired you here?
I had been interested in yoga practice and meditation from, you know, before I became a doctor, before I went to medical school. And I was working with cancer patients after completing my fellowship at Cornell. Then I was at Rockefeller University doing research in a field called epigenetics, which is really the newest study about our DNA. And that has to do with gene expression. So what we used to think is that the genes that we were born with, that determined our genetic destiny. So if we had a lot of people in our family who were overweight or who had cancer, diabetes, aged prematurely, we assumed that would be our genetic destiny, just like our eye color and our hair color. But what we know now is that our genes are dynamic, they're vibrant, and the expression of those genes can be changed throughout our lifetime, depending on how much stress we have, depending how much inner peace and clarity we have, depending whether we're putting healthy foods in our body or bad, you know, processed foods with a lot of white sugar, white flour, heat-damaged oils. And so, you know, that I found to be something that was very empowering for people, and I made that a big part of my life's work, working with people not only who had cancer already but wanted to prevent it. And I started noticing a lot of commonalities between things people could do to lower their risk of getting cancer and things people could do just to live healthier lives in general. And as part of that, I was working with guided imagery and meditation with patients. I was asked in the early 1990s to see a Tibetan monk, a young Tibetan monk, as a patient at Cornell for anemia. And as I do with all my patients, I talked with him quite a bit about his life and what he'd been through. And he recalled his parents having to leave he and his brother at an orphanage when he was about 3 years old in Tibet because I couldn't afford to feed them. And recalled the trauma of that and his parents walking away. And anyway, he had really become a master at using Tibetan metal bowls as part of his metal practice. So he brought me in one after he was able to leave the hospital into my office. And when he struck it the first time, I was so taken with not only how I heard with my ears, but literally how I felt that sound in every cell of my body. And it was just like all my thoughts left, and it just leaves you in a very heart-centered place. So I started working with those, with patients using the same breathing pranayama, which is breath control from yoga, some yoga chanting, and the effect was like exponential in terms of people being able to have inner peace even when they were going through an adversity like cancer and procedures like chemotherapy. And then I started working a lot with quartz crystal singing bowls and leading group meditations, but that's how it all started.
Cool. And now you're using crystal bowls as well?
Crystal bowls and gongs and still the metal bowls. And I have been to India about 35 times, and I actually have a charity there, and we've built hospitals and orphanages and schools. We feed a lot of people every day in the southern part of India. But I, you know, so much that has to do with breathing and with chanting can be combined with the bowls. And I also have a machine in my office that was invented by an amazing inventor and sound healer in Tokyo. And his name is Kicharo Kita, and this is called a Kita biosonic machine. And it's basically a relatively simple device. You listen to music or guided imagery or yoga chanting with headphones, but there's a transducer that is placed on the body, on the major energy centers or chakras, and that transducer will filter the low-frequency sounds from music or chanting, and it puts them right into the body. So the reason that's so powerful is your body is over 70% water, so it's an excellent conductive medium for sound and vibration. So people are hearing not only with their ears, they're hearing with every cell, every atom of their entire body. So even a 10-minute session of that is profoundly deep for patients. And I usually use combinations of repetitive chanting or music that I've composed with quartz crystal bowls that are played into a keyboard.
Cool. Cool. So you've got like a little sound healing room at your center there?
I do. And so cool. I do groups at different places. Sometimes I'll do them in the office, and for larger numbers of people, I'll have to do them at different venues.
You know, we sell sound chairs and sound tables, and as you know, I mean, it's just profound. I mean, it's just amazing that the world doesn't know how effective this is, because it not only gets you humming emotionally, but also physically. Your entire body is goes into that homeostasis. You know, I always think of it as really getting the body into a stable vibration instead of a buzz. It seems like stress manifests not only in the body, but down to the cellular level as a buzz. It's just kind of like a, ah, or, you know, well, fear would be like, ah, or anger or any emotion that's not harmonious is like static. Whereas the Tibetan bowls, the crystal bowls, the chanting that you do with your voice, it's all stable. It's like the vowels.
Yeah. See, and you know, the fact of the matter is, people don't know how to get out of that stress response, that fear response, mm-hmm. you know, that anger response, that worry response, once mm-hmm. they get into it. Because, you know, that's at the level of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't control the mind with the mind. It's never going to get control of itself. It's like asking a thief to guard your bank account. You know, if you do that, you know he's going to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what they do. So the mind's job, you know, it's just to think. And so once you get on a certain track, you know, whether it's worry or it's fear, you're not going to get out of that with your mind. You have to use something else. So if you look at the word disease, dis-ease, you know, it's in a way a form of disharmony. And see, I don't see anything conflicting between the fact that, you know, I'm board certified in internal medicine, hematology, medical oncology. I did my molecular biology research at Rockefeller. I just wrote a new book called The Gene Therapy Plan, which is taking control of your genetic destiny with diet and lifestyle. That's all about DNA. It's very scientific. But if you look at DNA more on a geometric level, you look at, you know, the structure of DNA, you know, the double helix, it's really a perfect coiled, very similar in shape to the caduceus, that's mm-hmm. the symbol of medicine, or to the kundalini, which, you know, is how the yoga, ancient yogis pictured the energy of the moving up the chakras along the spine as this coiled snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even in the Vedic texts, there's a saying, all life is composed of snakes. You know, what's meant by that is DNA. And so, DNA is not a fixed structure. As I said, gene expression, it's dynamic. It mm-hmm. changes throughout your lifetime for good or for harm. So we have all these genes that are affected by stress, for instance. And we know stress turns on what are called tumor promoter genes, genes that promote cancer. So is it really any wonder we've been living in a world where 1 in 3 people were going to hear the words, you have cancer? Over the next 5 years, that's going to 1 in 2 people are going to hear the words, you have cancer. We're living in a country today where 100 million Americans have either prediabetes or diabetes. That's a third of the entire country. And so, you know, not everything is due to stress, but a lot of it is. Mm-hmm. And people really need techniques to minimize that, because you can show their studies. Dean Ornish has done a lot of these studies using what are called heat maps. And you could, that looks at an array of gene expression, you know, say in somebody who's doing meditation. And you see literally hundreds of genes that are causing deleterious effects be turned off, and uh-huh. hundreds of genes that are having very beneficial effects be turned on just through meditation. And you can show that certain sounds, certain vibrations, that can change brainwave patterns literally in under a minute. You can change to the most relaxed brainwave patterns. And what also you can show is something called heart rate variability.
Mm-hmm.
That's the variations in, you know, your heart rate. So say it's 68, then 70, then 90. You know, if it's going all over the place, that's called a high heart rate variability. That is associated with very stressed brainwave patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's beating within a very narrow range, which is very easy to accomplish, using certain sounds and breath work. You can put somebody in a low heart rate variability. That's associated with the most relaxed brainwave patterns, which are the alpha, theta, and delta waves. So this is really something that I am very pleased to see is getting wider acceptance. The New York Times just did a huge article on the use of sound baths at yoga studios throughout the country.
Wow.
So I think it is getting out there more.
That's great. You know, it seems like besides the stability, I mean, it's the just I found a slow fade on the home note, which is whenever you play a Tibetan bowl or any bowl, it leaves you in that place of stillness. And it is quite amazing that just simply peace is the deal. And it's so simple because people don't have that technique. And just to have a bowl fade out is quite profound, you know.
It is. And, you know, the nice thing about it is people only have to experience it once
mm-hmm.
to see the power of it. And, you know, there are people that are so in their minds and mm-hmm. just think, you know, that couldn't possibly work.
Right.
And, you know, it's sort of like asking somebody to prove that there's the concept of sweet. You know, everybody's tasted something sweet,
mm-hmm.
but you couldn't really prove that sweet exists, you
right.
know, or like
can't
luck,
explain it.
You know, go prove it. You know, it's, but everybody knows it's real. And it's the same with experience, inner peace. You can measure what happens down to the DNA level when people are experiencing inner peace. You know, there are drugs now. For just about everything. There's antidepressants, there's amphetamines to make you more awake, there's sleeping pills to make you go to sleep, there's things to make you less nervous, but there will never be a drug that can create true inner peace.
Right.
And that, you know, is something that exists within everybody on a heart level.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to quiet the mind
yeah.
in order to do it. You have to create a certain vibration in order, you know, to meet that vibration within yourself. And I've never found anything more powerful than sound, voice, chanting, music, to be able to create that for people very quickly and easily.
Yeah, you know, I always think of it as peace is a frequency consistently humming. You know, you can
yes.
have silence without peace at all. It's
yes.
really when you get that stable frequency. And, you know, now, for the DNA, in your research, did you come across any of the frequencies within the DNA?
On
the strands? Because I actually
yeah.
have one of our instructors who... A previous instructor, Susan Alexander, has actually created CDs based on some of the frequencies of the DNA. Even.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about at the lecture
mm-hmm.
at your conference. But, you know, the DNA, you know, it's what is called sacred geometry in a lot of the ancient texts.
Mm-hmm.
The way DNA is put together in terms of what are called like platonic solids,
mm-hmm.
the you know there are different shapes.
Mm-hmm.
One you know is called like a dodecahedron. It's 12 sided pentagons,
mm-hmm.
and just the angles that go through there. That's what create the shape of DNA. And,
you know, it's interesting, you know, one of our instructors has taken all the platonic solids and all the geometric shapes, and he measures the sides of them and actually creates chimes based on the different geometric shapes.
Yeah, well, all the harmonies, that's what Pythagoras
mm-hmm.
basically did thousands of years ago, you know, in creating musical scales. They're all based upon these geometric shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he was the, really, you know, the father of music and, you know, sacred geometry. There's not much that is different between music and mathematics and DNA and harmony. All of those, you know, are just fundamental laws of nature. But the more that we can understand that and use it positively, the healthier we're going to be, the happier we're going to be, the more peaceful we're going to be.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, it sounds like the main technique is getting people into that state of homeostasis, the peace and the place where things just flow. But are you starting to look at, like, possibly working with frequencies down to the specific level of the DNA? Or is that, because, you know, around here what we do is there's kind of two ways. You can use very specific frequencies on cells or organs to resonate them into their own specific frequency harmony, or you can just kind of get people into bliss and get them into the zone where they relax finally, you know?
There are ways of doing both. Mm-hmm. You know, I try and sort of see where people are and what they're ready for, and how much time they're willing to devote to this. So one thing that I find that almost everybody, it's something, you know, most people have in common, is what I do in my office. So nature sounds, I have 6 CDs. That I've done with a variety of different types of healing music. But in about half my CDs, I've recorded in different parts of the world, you know, streams, forest sounds, you know, literally for hours with very high quality recording equipment, and just put that as a backdrop. So nature sounds in conjunction with music can be amazingly healing. And so in every room, literally every millimeter of my office, you know, when people walk into my office, they all think it's more like a temple, which is even more striking because it's in the middle of Manhattan, which is such a stressful place anyway. And, you know, there's always sirens in the background and cars honking, everything, and then you just walk into this place and the vibration is so 180 degrees the opposite of that. People just like feel it the second they walk in. But in the I have speakers along the floor everywhere in the office with just nature sounds coming, and very, very low. You'd really have to listen carefully in order to hear it. But, you know, people are hearing either forest sounds, running water, and then from above, I have louder, you know, chanting from a variety of different cultures and other types of spiritual music. And the combination of the two, and even where they're located, you know, that starts to center people, too. On one hand, it grounds people. And on the other hand, you know, it connects people more with the divine part of themselves, because we are all in essence like a stringed instrument. You know, one part of us is connected with divine, the other part connected with the earth. And it's a matter of finding, you know, that balance wherever you are in your life, you know, and staying connected with that feeling. And like I say, you have to have a practice in order to maintain that connection.
You know, it's interesting. We have a class on nature sounds at the Institute, and I always point out there's no better sound healer in the universe than nature. I mean, nature is tied into the whole matrix of how it all works and gets you in that flow. You know, I often talk in my book, the main concept that I start with is that you can work at many different levels. You can work at the frequency level, so it's very specific, down to a specific frequency for any cell or any emotion, for that matter, or any brainwave state. Or you can work at the timbre level, which is the sound level, which is like the Tibetan bowls or the crystal bowls or the voice. Or you can work at a musical interval level, which is one of the first levels that really expresses love. Or you can work at the music level, which is all about flow. And then you can work at the energy level, which is about intention. And I think that's the most powerful of all, is using that level. However, within the body, it seems like the flow, the quality of the flow, is really the main thing. Because whenever you have resistance, whether it's in the circulatory system, I mean, you can have a heart attack. If it's in the nervous system, there's no flow. You're shaky. You know, if you have no flow in any system, then that's really where the problem happens. So often think of it as any frequency or any sound is always about getting that flow happening again. And I remember talking with you about this, and you said that's even the case at the DNA level.
Yeah, the flow is everything. And so, you know, even if you look again, you mentioned correctly, you know, at the DNA level, you know, again, if you're looking at the double helix, and you look at that spiral, you know, that energy, you know, the whole thought of that, it is flow. So what's DNA doing? You know, DNA is unwinding, it's making new DNA, and then it's performing its function. So, you know, it's really, if you want to look at that from a metaphysical sense, you know, just the sound OM, which is more AUM than OM, you know, it's the primordial sound of the universe, the primordial sound of creation. So just, the, you know, when people do the sound OM, and that's, you know, what all the yoga chants start with. So that, you know, the first part is creation, you know, the A part is the creation. The U is the sustaining part, you know, and then the M is the unwinding, the destruction part. And, you know, that's the natural frequency of nature. You know, it's creation, sustaining, destruction, and then it starts over again. You know, and that is the flow. So, you know, when you can allow people to, you know, have a sense of that, you know, a lot of when you talk to people, what you find interrupts, you know, their flow of life. You know, when, you know, people feel stuck. And, you know, that is when you talk to patients and, you know, even friends, you know, you find people feel very stuck at certain points of their life. And, you know, maybe they'll be stuck with a past trauma or stuck with a false concept of the world based on an old trauma, and they feel stuck. And so, you know, reestablishing that flow happens on a lot of levels. And, you know, a lot of times after working with sound and music, you know, people really describe that they had an epiphany, so to speak, you know, of something that was keeping them stuck in their lives. And that what was keeping them stuck in their lives, you know, was keeping them very frustrated or depressed, you know. And once they energetically started just letting that energy move, they were able to have a realization about what it was that was keeping them stuck and how to move forward, not to just focus, you know, on a past trauma. So, you know, it really has a myriad of effects that go on long after they work with the sound.
Right. You know, we've got an instructor named Emmanuel at our institute who does voice healing on people with cancer. And he's now, the people report that 85 people say their cancer is now completely gone. Four of them with fourth stage cancer from just doing voice healing. And Emmanuel is not mellow. Emmanuel goes up to a person and is like, what? I mean, really powerful. Like, what? I mean, intensely powerful. And I started thinking about, you know, what he's doing, because he's not, in a way, he's not doing the peace, although he does leave you peaceful. What he's doing is like doing, it's almost like he's empowering you. By doing these powerful, intensely powerful sounds, he's like bringing in that empowerment into you, is kind of the way I think of it. It's because, it's so funny, because he doesn't go up to anybody and ever do, you know, something really soft. So I often think of, besides bringing people to that stillness, it's also about empowering them, and specifically empowering them against fear.
You know, that is key thing that I've found probably the most stressful, the most fearful day of a person's life is if they get cancer. And
that's what kills them more than anything, is the fear instead of the cancer, huh?
Well, it's just so overwhelming for so many people, not all, but most. Uh-huh. And so the day they first have to come to see me, you know, a medical oncologist, is one of the most stressful days of their life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm affiliated with an academic medical center, Cornell, and, you know, I'll go through their CAT scans, their pathology reports, you know, talk with them about what medical treatments they need. I'll go over a whole nutritional program with them. And then at the end, I'll take them through a whole sound and music healing session. At the end of that part, invariably people look up at me and they'll say, Dr. Gaynor, this is the most relaxed and peaceful I think I've ever felt in my life. Wow. So that's a very empowering thing for them, because on the most stressful, fearful day of their life, they had an experience of the greatest peace and the greatest relaxation that they've ever felt. So they can see that that's possible. Because it's such a dichotomy. Right. And that really starts a whole healing process for people as well. And that's why, you know, I try and explain to people, a lot of things humans think are good, you know, they turn out not to be so good. You know, maybe, you know, there's a car you always wanted or something, you finally get the car, and then, you know, it gets in a wreck or something, and, you know, it turns out not to be what you thought, or a relationship or a bunch of things like that. And then there are things that happen that seem bad, that seem like just pure adversity or misfortune, that turn out to be one of the greatest blessings and transformative events that could have ever happened to you, that you never would have chosen on your own. It just happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times illness and even cancer, people have come back to me. In fact, the vast majority of my patients, you know, months or years later, have said that having had cancer was one of the greatest blessings that ever happened, because they were able to learn how to live every day and it with a completely different quality than they had ever known possible.
It's just the way it should be. It's what you're doing. It's so amazing. You know, I can just hear some of our instructors in the background, their thoughts going, ask him more about the sacred geometry and the DNA. Can you tell us a little bit more? Because we didn't really get into it as very, very deep. I mean, you said there's a dodecahedron. I mean, where in the DNA? I mean, tell me more about that. It's really interesting.
Well, it's the spiral that the DNA is based upon is basically dodecahedrons, or what Plato did is described several different platonic solids, which are just shapes that enclose space, sort of similar to the circle, but with different geometric shapes. Mm-hmm. And so there are a number of those shapes. One, there's an icosahedron. That's 20 sides. That's the most number of sides, and that icos is 20 in Greek. And
triangles.
Mm-hmm. But the dodecahedron is 12 sides. They're pentagons, and the double helix will go through different sides of the pentagon, and it'll just form this particular shape, and that's the exact same shape is the kundalini that goes up the spine. And it's really an amazing type of geometry, because you will find the angles and the way that this shape is. It's a what's called a Fibonacci spiral. Mm-hmm. And so the Fibonacci numbers, that was also described long before Fibonacci in the Vedas. But you know, you'll have like zero, then you'll have one, then you'll have one and one is two, and then two and one is three, and then three and two is five. So it's just the last two numbers added. Five and three is eight. Mm-hmm. Eight and five is 13. And then the ratio of those two numbers, that's known as the golden ratio. Mm-hmm. And you see that throughout nature. So if you take a pine cone, for instance, you'll see spirals in that are very similar to DNA. So that pine cone is eight clockwise spirals, 13 counterclockwise spirals. You'll see it in flowers throughout nature. You'll see this ratio in starfish. And
it's also in the, when you're transmitting love, you see it in the heart rate variability as well.
Yes, you do. And so it's a matter, when you look at what the intention of using sound and music and healing, and even the pranayama that I use and that I teach along with it, you know, the breath, that also is based upon these numbers. It's a matter of doing everything, of restoring harmony. There's so much in our society that is creating disharmony. So it's very easy for somebody to think of an example, you know, of a coworker at work who is very negative, or a boss who is very critical and, you know, vindictive and things like that, and what that does to your energy by the end of the day. And so there's so much of that. You even just watch the news. You know, there's so much disharmony that's coming into you. You have to find a way to retune yourself and to restore harmony. And, you know, nature has given us truly an unlimited number of ways of doing that. Even the foods that you're putting in your body have a certain energy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can understand biochemically and epigenetically, you know, how they're working, but still they're having a certain energy. There are certain foods that are having a certain negative energy. And so it's very important to do everything that you can to create harmony in your life, in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your thoughts. And, you know, that's the only way of dealing with disharmony. If another way I describe it, you know, if you think of all the disharmony you've had in your life, you can't go back and, you know, change the past. So if you look at that as just a line on a sheet of paper, and I say, I want you to make that line shorter but you can't touch the line. You can't erase it or anything like that. How do you do it? The way you do it is you draw a longer line next to it. Then that looks shorter. And so the more harmony that you can create in your life, the more, you know, and even things when you start to do it, you know, a lot of my patients do this. They'll work with other patients with cancer and other things. They'll teach them what they've learned. You know, that is creating more and more harmony. So sharing, giving, you know, it, there's all these ways of creating harmony that it's easy to draw that longer line. And so nobody has to be stuck with what's happened to them or where they've been or what they felt guilty about. You know, you just draw the longer line, you know, creating harmony going forward.
I love it. I love it. So you've got two books.
Yes, I have. Well, I have five, but two that are pertinent to this. My newest book is The Gene Therapy Plan, Taking Control of Your Genetic Destiny with Diet and Lifestyle. That became the number one health book on Amazon 4 days after it was published. It just came out April 21st. And then I have a book which has been a best-selling book for years called The Healing Power of Sound. And the subtitle of that is Healing Illness Through Sound, Voice, and Music. And that's published by Shambhala. And that talks about my work with crystal bowls and meditation and how to heal yourself.
Cool. Now, as far as what you're going to be speaking at the conference, is it basically what we've just been talking about here? Or is there anything different that you'll be sharing there?
Well, there is. It's the title of my lecture is The Harmonic Destiny of Healing. And what that really has to do with is talking about how the future of healing is going to look very, very different than what it looks like today. Today, it's much more of a Band-Aid approach. We wait for a symptom to develop. We give medicine for it and don't deal with any of the underlying causes. And I'm going to really be talking a lot about the memory inside DNA. This whole field is called behavioral epigenetics. And that's even how, you know, traumas that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents went through, that affects gene expression, and that's heritable. That's transmitted from generation to generation. What people can do to alter that, not only for themselves, but for their children.
It's interesting. Jill Peirce, who's speaking at the conference, does a whole workshop on actually transmuting all the energy from all your ancestors with sound.
Yeah, but the thing about that is, up until very recently, nobody really believed there was any scientific basis for that. I'm going to talk about is show that this there's, you know, an absolute scientific basis for that.
You know, we have a nonprofit Sound Healing Research Foundation, and we're working on finding all the frequencies of every single part of the body, from cell to organs to even the esoteric aspects of chakras and even your soul. And are there any thoughts as to what you think would be probably the best research that could help the field in this aspect? Any things you thought about that you would do research on?
I think the best thing, a lot of the research that's being done in behavioral epigenetics, in terms of looking how childhood trauma affects DNA, affects your risk by causing gene expression of everything from cancer to heart disease to premature aging to our ability to learn to you know, variety of stress-related illnesses and conditions, everything from depression to other forms of mental illness, and also looking at the role of sound and music and healing, literally to transform people who are already sick with critical illnesses like cancer, and use that in conjunction with conventional therapy.
Cool. Anything, how do you see your practice in the future? Do you see it changing, or you see things that you would do differently other than the way you're doing it now, or how it might expand? Any vision of the future? Because you've already kind of, you're like the trailblazer of the field, and it just, you see, where might it go from there, from here?
Well, I think what I'm seeing happening already, especially since the success of the gene therapy plan, because I'm being asked to speak all over the world at, you know, major hospitals, major medical centers. And so I think we've reached a critical mass of scientific basis that people can really sort of sink their teeth into. And that is really, I think it'd be transformative because, you know, a lot of the work that you and your organization have done, people like Jill have done over the years, we have a lot of the techniques. We have a lot of the basis, you know, even, you know, the basis, you know, from yoga in using sound, in using vibration, in the idea of restoring harmony. And I think this is really the example of East meeting West in a way where both are very comfortable with it. And so, you know, it's really very rewarding. So I can go do lectures in India and throughout Asia and do the exact same lectures, you know, in Boston or San Francisco or New York. And really, you know, people get it the same way. So cool. There's a big change happening.
Wow. You know, I just want to honor you. I mean, and send appreciation from everybody that's listening for, because what you're doing is probably the most important thing to be able to transform the medical system into a system that, I mean, that works synchronistically with actual life and really to really help people, God, live a life that will just live. You know?
That's right. And it's every bit as important for prevention as it is for once you're already become sick. So if you're already sick with something, it's critical to start doing it. But if you're not, and you know, you're just feeling stuck or frustrated in your life, that's not going to be good long-term for your health. You know, we know that. And who wants to live like that when you don't have to? And so it's a matter of teaching people what's possible. And I talk a lot, even at the beginning of my book, I have one patient who does a lot of work with sound healing now. She's an 18-year survivor of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She was given 3 months to live at Sloan Kettering 18 years ago. She had young daughters and grandmother by both daughters now. And, you know, she had a very high-powered, super stressful job in finance. And now, you know, she goes around talking about meditation, sound healing, you know, things she did. And I, you know, once people can just see that it's possible, that allows for a lot of new possibilities. So when Roger Bannister first broke the 4-minute mile, he was the first man in recorded human history to do it. Within 2 years after he had done it, 12 people had broken the 4-minute mile. So what changed from entire recorded human history to when he was able to accomplish that. And the next 2 years, what changed was consciousness. You know, people right. realizing it was possible to do it. That's what was stopping people.
Nice.
And, you know, this is so powerful in terms of the transformative effects it can have on people's lives. And when people see it's possible, regardless of where they are in their life, then it allows the change to happen.
Nice. Is how can people find your materials and you? Which,
the best website is called Gene Changer, G-E-N-E, changer.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's the website, or on Facebook, my professional page is Mitch Gaynor, M.D.
Cool. Well, again, I want to just thank you for the work you're doing. It's so, so amazing and so important. And
well, it's really one of the most rewarding ways of spending my life. You know, it's very lucky when you have something that you can do that you don't consider work, because it's just a joy to be able to do it. And people can transform their lives to do that in pretty much anything, regardless of what it is they do.
Nice. So people can, you know, come to the conference and come to your workshops. I really recommend it. The it's at globesoundhealingconference.com. Thank you so much, Mitch, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So once again, we end with our intention, and that is that you can once again take control of your own life and heal yourself. Be at peace where everything flows. So we hold that frequency, that energy. Hold it into at least the rest of the evening, maybe the whole weekend or weeks ahead. How about months ahead? Imagine being totally at peace and healthy and happy for lifetimes. Thanks for listening and take care.